battered timbers, as much at home on the mountainside as the It had been built in the depths of the Depression by the WPA to put to work all sorts of craftsmen that were unemployed. And it's a superb monument to the daring dreamers of those days. FDR himself had dedicated it in 1937. He and Mrs. R. had spent the night in the suite that I was to use. I went straight to the suite, a charming room with a fireplace, handmade furniture, a big sofa, a bouquet of the wildflowers, which one of the foresters had thoughtfully put there, changed into a beige pantsuit, and then, with the clouds already gathering on the mountaintop, we got into a strange vehicle called a snowcat, a long, low cab on caterpillar treads, Orville and I and a sizable contingent of press, and started out on a ride up to the snowfields, the slopes of the mountain, on the way to the good ski runs. We crunched along through snow that had fallen 2 weeks ago and was the last quite dirty now. The forest ranger told me that you could expect to snow any time up till July the 4th, and then it would begin again in early September. It must have been fantastically beautiful when it was all sparkling white. And there was a majestic view all around us. Great wooded mountains rising to bare peaks, some snow-capped. We could see several ski runs. It's quite a tourist industry here. But the clouds were settling on the top of Mount Hood, and very soon we were going to be enveloped in the soft white blanket. And so, admitting defeat, we turned around and came down the mountain, getting out once for what may have been some good pictures against a gorgeous backdrop, and we're back at the lodge in time for a long rest before dinner. This hardly ever happens on trip. It was a luxury I scarcely knew how to take. I curled up and read that great chief of brochures all about the multiple use management of the forest and the building of Timberline Lodge, which I'd been provided, and then, close to 7, put on my white Sea America dress with a bright scarf and went in to dinner. We had cocktails in the lounge, a balcony that surrounded a great six-sided lobby, a vast high-ceilinged room that looked like the baronial hall of some ancient Viking. The guests were our own party, some foresters, a few Oregon state officials, including a former attorney general who was a great friend of John Ben Shepherd's, and a bunch of young skiers who were practicing for participation in the Olympics, they told me. Long-haired, earnest-faced, a different breed from the young folks I've known, but attractive. But the main attraction was Timberline Lodge itself, made of the stone and wood of Oregon, its pictures and carvings all showing the Cascade Mountain environment in three themes, the pioneers, the Indians, and the plants and wildlife. Its stairway treads made of old railroad ties and the newer posts of telephone poles, topped with a hand carving of an animal of the region done by some down-and-out artist of the Depression days. A little bear curled up, a duck, an eagle, a raccoon. They were absolutely delightful. Even the vast fireplace was six-sided. It must have been wonderful roaring in midwinter, and was nice even in June, a bright fire going. On its six sides, huge ponderosa pines towered 96 feet to the arched ceiling, their sides hand-hewn, and the massive light fixtures that hung from the ceiling were made like Indian storage baskets, and they too were six-sided. Everywhere there was the work of artisans, in wrought iron, carpentry, carving, painting. One hall was lined with watercolors of the wildflowers of the region. And the furniture was handmade, a wonderful montage of the artistry of the 1930s. I was thrilled at the imagination and the perseverance of the people that had put it together. Leading into the Cascade dining room were massive iron gates, weighing 1,000 pounds, the two of them, a fox face, the motif, the handle, a snake. Some of the artists whose work in oil and watercolor hung on the wall had gone on to fame. One of them had several pictures in the Metropolitan in New York, they told me proudly. He was C.S. Price. And of course, on the desk, I saw the signatures of FDR and Mrs. FDR and all those accompanying them, and some delightful pictures, not many, and I thought of what a wonderful picture job we do now. But the thing I like best, I think, are the carvings throughout the Timberline Lodge of the Indian symbols of the moon, the snow moon of January and the hunger moon of February, the planting moon of May, and the green corn. dawn of August and the leaf-falling moon of October and delightfully the long night moon of December. We went into the Cascade dining room for dinner. There was a big fire going. We had beef fondue, which we all did at our own place, mixing it with various sauces, and having a very good homemade bread, a red wine, and then the local Marshall strawberries. I sat next to the former attorney general, who was very talkative and full of Lyndon's appointments of the day, Abe Forrest and Homer Thornberry. Indeed, everyone came up to me with questions or expressions of interest, but I was unable to assess the color of their thinking, approval or disapproval, surprise. Actually, there's a tremendous difference between the whole thinking of the rest of the country outside of Washington. Such things are important, yes, but they're not the whole universe. Washington sinks into perspective when you are some 2,500 miles away. I love it, but it is a self-important town. During dinner, there was entertainment by a couple of strolling young folk singers, brother and sister. Fresh, delightful, appealing, just right. Afterward, we went into the lobby and had coffee and listened to a professor from the University of Oregon, I think, tell us about the history of Mount Hood, actually of volcanoes in general. And it was a rather lengthy history, but I had hoped for more about the history of man and of plant and animal life twined into it. And then the Bohemians, a group of businessmen who sing for fun and who had some marvelous yodelers. I haven't heard yodeling since I was 17 years old on the banks of Caddo Lake, and this was absolutely great, quite in tune with the alpine flavor of the evening. And then pictures with the entertainers and the principal guests, and early good nights, and to bed at the very civilized hour of 10:30. This, indeed, is a different sort of trip. Not as exciting, not as productive, but another face of America, a day to be cherished, especially as they become more numbered.